As Vice Chairman for Genoa Township Trustees, I'm going to call this special meeting to order at 7:01 on August the 21st. Roll call, Connie Goodman.
Here.
Frank D'Antonio, here. On his way will be Carl Gebhardt, who will be joining us shortly. The purpose of this meeting is to address one topic only, and that is whether Genoa should prohibit or permit the growing, processing, and selling of medical marijuana. The issue of medical marijuana has already been approved by the Ohio legislature, so that issue is off the table. What we can do is, and what we have done, we have passed a resolution a month ago or so.
July 20th.
July 20th. Thank you, Connie. Mm-hmm. Prohibiting the growing, processing, or selling of medical marijuana in Genoa. But the purpose of this is to find out what the Genoa taxpayers think of this particular very sensitive and very important issue. To start our program off tonight is going to be Andrew King from the Delaware County Prosecutor's Office, who is going to give us an overview of some of the legal aspects. Then the game plan is just to turn it over to the audience to seek your input. Do we have a PowerPoint? Okay, we do have a PowerPoint, but unfortunately you can't see it. Maybe you could go a little bit more into detail since they won't, and a little slower since they don't have the visual. Okay, Andrew?
So here's my first slide. Well, good evening. So as Trustee D'Antonio said, medical marijuana became the law permitted in the state of Ohio under House Bill 523, that made Ohio the 25th state. If any of you might recall sort of a little bit of the background of this, there was a constitutional amendment that was offered. The political calculus was that the amendment stood a good chance of getting passed. There were many that were opposed to it, Dave Yost being one of the more vocal ones, and this bill was then passed in response to that to bring medical marijuana to Ohio, but without the issues that were seen as problematic with the Constitution, the constitutional initiative. The bill defines medical marijuana as marijuana that's cultivated, processed, dispensed, tested, possessed, or used for a medical purpose. Now, to be a medical purpose is not, it's sort of deceptive because it has to be a qualifying medical purpose. So the statute calls out, I think it was about 20 different illnesses, diseases, that would qualify. So it's not just because, hey, I've got a thumbnail.
Could you go through those?
I would.
Or I can read them from the law.
If you have them, that would.
Okay, there's approximately 23 that qualify. I'll read them slowly. A qualifying medical condition means any of the following: acquired immunity deficiency syndrome, Alzheimer's disease, I will mispronounce this, but amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, cancer traumatic encephalopathy, Crohn's disease, epilepsy or another seizure disorder, phylomyalgia, I mispronounced that one, glaucoma, hepatitis C, inflammatory bowel disease, multiple sclerosis, pain that is either of the following, chronic and severe or intractable, Parkinson's disease, positive status for HIV, post-traumatic stress disorder, sickle cell anemia, spinal cord disease or injury, Tourette's syndrome, traumatic brain injury, ulcerative colitis. The final one, those are all that are approved at the moment. The final one then is any other disease or condition added by the state medical board under the Ohio Revised Code. So that's the open door if they subsequently decide there are more of them other than these 23 that are listed.
So if you have one of those conditions, what this bill did effectively decriminalizes possession, use, and paraphernalia if you have a doctor's recommendation. Part of the bill then also set up a medical marijuana control program, which is a licensing system. So if you go through the regs that have already been established, it's pretty thorough, and all the regs are required to be in place, and the program is supposed to be up and running by the end of September next year. So what's covered in the scope are cultivators, retailers, processors, and testing labs. Thus far, only the cultivators have the regulations done in a final form. So even you'd see in my slide, I refer to those as not being final yet. There's also the physicians have to register, and then there's an advisory committee established, which I believe has already been constituted and has people on it. And the point of the advisory committee is to advise the Commerce Department, which does most of these regulations of the cultivators, processors, and retailers, in addition to the pharmacy board, who's going to control the sort of the dispensing prescription part of it, and then the medical board, who oversees the doctors that write these recommendations. The advisory committee's sort of tasked with making sure that everyone is on the same page. So thus far, like I mentioned, the Department of Commerce has issued regulations regarding cultivators. My sense, I sort of looked through the other ones that are still in draft form, and they just dropped like a week or two ago when I was like out of town. But they look relatively similar. I mean, the same sort of general idea is across all of them. So I would expect what I say for the cultivators to largely apply to the other ones. The cultivators are limited to 32 licenses right now. Sort of like the what Trustee D'Antonio said, there is a little clause that says that there can be more added based on population, but there's like two tiers of licenses, and all total there's 32 that the Department of Commerce can issue for cultivators. So that there's sort of a built-in limitation right there. There theoretically couldn't even be one in every county. So like I mentioned, the rules regarding the processors and dispensary are still being approved, but what I would expect is what the rule looks like for the cultivators. To get licensed, there's an extensive number of documents you have to generate and submit. So what I thought was particularly relevant to the township's consideration of permitting these regulated businesses in would be the background checks have to be done and certain criminal acts are disqualifying. The financial plan has to be submitted along with financial responsibility, and importantly, a security plan, to mitigate or obviate the obvious desire to want to steal from these sorts of places. So, again, sort of skimming through the other stuff, that's what I sort of saw on the other one. So, I mean, it is going to be a heavily regulated industry with the Department of Commerce demanding a lot of upfront paperwork before you get approved. And then there's some ongoing regulations you have to meet. One of the ones that I just thought was kind of interesting with the cultivators is they actually have to produce a certain amount of marijuana in order to maintain their status, which I'm not quite sure whether that was a regulation, but I mean they put a lot of regulations in there. And then there's general restrictions that apply to everyone, that none of these businesses can be within 500 feet of a school, church, public library, public playground, or public park, which is similar to what's in the liquor code, but this is mandatory. Like you cannot be within 500 feet. So so everything I said thus far is basically regulated at the state level through state agencies. So where the township then sort of enters this is RC 3796.29 says the legislative authority, which would be the Board of Trustees or a Board of Trustees may adopt a resolution to prohibit or limit the number of cultivators, processors, or retail dispensary licensed under this chapter within the unincorporated territory of the township. So, as Trustee D'Antonio said, they passed a resolution, at least for the time being, saying under this, no businesses are allowed, and that's permissible. You can say you can't really regulate them here. It's either we're going to limit the numbers or prohibit you outright. But where the township does have a little bit of regulatory power is with regard to zoning. Because if any of you have dealt with the zoning at all, one of the more famous exemptions for zoning is agriculture, that Ohio's long tradition of agriculture and still being a significant part of its gross domestic product, ag is exempted out from zoning. So normally marijuana would sort of fall under that agricultural umbrella. So to avoid that, the General Assembly specifically excluded marijuana from that exception. So basically, you can regulate these marijuana cultivators, retailers, and dispensaries under zoning. So what that essentially means is the township would have, through zoning, some power to control the dimensional restrictions, like how far back from the road, how far back from the other property, how much square footage the buildings have to be, or what's a minimum, you know, height restrictions, those sorts of things. You can also do a little bit of use restrictions. So for example, the example that I like to use is like with a conditional use permit, you can say, well, we don't want a gas station in between like a nursery and a daycare center with an elementary school across the street. You know, that sort of traffic doesn't lend itself to the pedestrian sort of usage and kids and those sorts of things. So the township through zoning would have that ability to say, we'll allow it somewhere, but maybe not the exact place you want it. And then have some restrictions on time and dimensions. Now the sticky wicket, I guess, in this whole thing is it still remains a Schedule 1 under the Controlled Substance Act, which means under federal law, it's prohibited, which causes these businesses some difficulty because the feds have leaned into banks and other institutions and made it difficult to open bank accounts, transact business. Now, part of what the bill did was help these folks by creating something through the Commerce Department to get around that. But at the end of the day, these businesses are still potentially subject to federal action, federal forfeiture. Business owners, the users, are still theoretically subject to federal prosecution. There was a memo put out during the Obama administration saying we're not going to go after marijuana, medical marijuana, in states where it's legal. So if you have a prescription or your dispensary, we're not going to go after you. There has been some question as to whether or not that's going to continue to be the guidance. The current Attorney General famously said good people don't smoke marijuana. So that's kind of led to the sense that maybe that guidance is going to be reversed, but it hasn't, and there's been some talk that it'll just be sort of massaged around the edges. But for the time being, it's still technically illegal, and it's just a question of whether or not the feds choose to enforce it or not. So it creates obvious obstacles for carrying on the business. So that was sort of my basic overview.
Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you, Andrew. Again, the purpose tonight is not to say whether Ohio should or should not have marijuana. That decision has already been made. The question on the table is, what did Genoa taxpayers want? And if they want any, how many? So, Connie, do you have any questions, any guidelines? Thoughts, comments?
Actually, as Andrew went through his presentation, I came up with a couple questions. You want me to ask him now before public comment? Okay. You talked about the conflict between the state and the feds, that it is an all-cash operation. And does the prosecutor's office have any feeling on the impact that will have on safety services, specifically police and the crime resulting?
Well, I mentioned this to someone here. When the amendment was proposed, I believe, and I don't think I'm speaking out of turn, my boss, along with Dave Hughes and a number of other prosecutors, publicly opposed it on some of those grounds that there was some concern about not only what the secondary effects of the usage would be, sort of the difficulty of separating legitimate from non, or medical from non-medical use, but then also the sort of secondary crime effects where maybe even the marijuana is legal, but then the theft, burglaries, into the business, around the business, or maybe then robberies of folks coming in and out or things like that were an obvious concern. But I mean, it's really at this point, it's mostly speculation because they're not in operation in the state. So Colorado, Washington, and wherever, you know, a few other states that have them are really the only sort of places that you, I guess there's 25 states for medical. I mean, so that's really the only thing you can sort of look to is what's it been like in the other states.
Okay. And then also, you mentioned that the product must be tested. And there was an article in the Dispatch a week or two ago, and it talked about the testing of the products and that it had to be done by a university, certain criteria there. And it stated that the universities, no one has yet agreed to test products because they are afraid of losing their federal funding. What does that do to the ability of these companies to actually produce the product, cultivate it, and eventually sell it if nobody will fulfill that criteria in the state?
I don't specifically remember the testing being limited to universities. There was a carve-out exception that said that the universities, if they wanted to, can continue their research and nothing was supposed to impact that. Mm-hmm. But your observation, I think, is correct that if the testing can't happen, then that would be a serious impediment to these businesses functioning. I mean, to be honest with you, I did not. Of all the things I looked at, the testing I really didn't look at because I didn't really think about it much. But I mean, sort of from my general read of it, I think your assessment is accurate. What the Dispatch sort of said: if you can't get the testing done, then that's going to sort of throw a monkey wrench into everything.
My guess is
that if the universities can't or won't do the testing, there'll be an amendment.
Possibly.
That will enable some other organization, I'll use the phrase, to be able to do that once they get certified. Okay.
Thank you.
Let's start with any questions for Andrew for clarification. No statements, just questions. Yes, ma'am.
My recollection is that it did not go to the voters at that point. That once the ballot initiative was circulated and the polling looked like this is going to pass, that's when the General Assembly said, well, if it's going to pass, let us write the law and let us regulate it rather than the scheme that was in place. If you remember, one of the big objections and because Dave Yost is from here, and he used to be my boss's boss, I'm sort of familiar with it, was that it set up that cartel where only like 20 people could operate it, sort of like the casinos. So that was one of the big objections to that amendment, and that this was done partially in response to that to prevent those legal monopolies from being created.
This was the legislation that passed was basically a proactive attempt to take the control out of the public's hands.
Correct.
Okay. So the legislature did it. Yes, ma'am.
I think we spoke before. I had that question. Will there be any monies that come out of this that will go to the township?
Good question. Any township gets zero revenue from the licensing or tax of any medical marijuana. There is no economic gain for townships or municipalities. Well, municipalities may get it because they have an income tax. So if those businesses run at a profit, then they will get their fair share of income tax. Townships do not have an income tax. We only have property taxes. We will get no benefit.
Antonio, may I suggest that when questions are asked, the folks either come to the podium or the question is repeated since we are putting this on an audio recording?
Sure.
So thank you.
The one thing I would add to that is Trustee D'Antonio is correct. The only thing is, and this is true with any improvement to the land, it would obviously increase the land's valuation and thus increase the taxes, but that's not specific to the marijuana business. I mean, if you had any business and you put an improvement on it, it would change the value of the land. So it Trustee Antonio is right. It has nothing to do with the marijuana. The township would not benefit because it's a marijuana operation.
It may actually have a negative effect.
It could, yes.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Art Ritz, township resident. Point of clarification, Andrew. So did you say that the township trustees have the ability to prohibit the farming of marijuana or the growing of marijuana?
Correct.
And how about for the sale? It's twofold.
The cultivation, processing, and dispensing. They can prohibit all
three. We can prohibit.
Prohibit or regulate.
Or permit. And if we choose to permit, we can limit the number of facilities. So we could say one.
Okay.
We could say zero.
Right.
We could say 10.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
And the one little difference, just I know you didn't quite ask this, but I'm a lawyer, so I got to. He gave me an opportunity to talk. And Trustee D'Antonio touched on this. As cities, municipalities with home rule, they can engage in more extensive regulations of it than the township can. So the township can only say yes, no, or yes, but we're only going to allow this many numbers, and then try to regulate it through zoning or whatever. They don't have as much flexibility as a city would.
Is this the first of these community?
This is the first public meeting of this. We have not discussed whether there will be more or not.
How about elsewhere in the county? Do we know? Has it been?
I believe the only one that I am certain of that has also prohibited it was Harlem Township. I don't know for sure. What we did do as a prosecutor's office is come up with a draft resolution and send it out to all the townships and said, hey, if you're interested in prohibiting it, this is the language you can use, but we didn't give them guidance. We didn't tell them, hey, if you do it, back to us. I mean, it was purely the township's decision. So, I don't know for sure who did and who didn't.
Well, I appreciate the trustees opening this up for discussion. So, thank you.
Okay, we're just in general questions at the moment to clarification, and if you'll just wait. We'll go ahead and take this gentleman.
Along the same lines as the last question, there's growth, processing, and distribution. Now, can a township do one but not the other two or be selective, or is it all one package?
We can do one.
Or two and not one. Okay.
Right.
All right. Thank you.
You have a clarification question?
Just a great thank you. My wife and I have lived here since the year 2000, and we just live down the road. I'm sorry I'm a little late, but this is a wonderful place to be. My wife and I are both specialized ministers in the Lutheran Church. She oversees Bible camps here in Ohio, and I make films for nonprofits. And we have the best of neighbors. They're like extended family, and I'm so grateful that you're having this meeting today, sir. Thank you.
Do you want to see this slideshow? Okay.
Okay, with that then, we're going to open up for proponents, opponents, in favor of, not in favor of, general comments. Let's go systematically. Okay, we'll start in the middle, row one, and we'll go to the left. Could you please go to the microphone, please?
This is the day she got Student of the Year at Notre Dame College in Cleveland, Ohio, one of the proudest days of my life besides her graduation.
I came here today because I feel like if we do this, if we open this up, then we're opening ourselves up to a lot of other things that we're totally unaware of at this time. My daughter, Jennifer, she was 22 years old. She had just graduated from college. She had procured her first job. They had bought her a brand new little Camry. I was so excited because her Jeep was falling apart, the one she had had through high school. And she was just excited about her career and her life. One night, the job that she took called her in. It was about 12:30. She was up in Cleveland. She hopped out of bed when they called her in. She was a district manager for a number of stores, and they said there was an alarm going off at one of the stores. My daughter hopped out of bed, ran downstairs, got in her car, and proceeded to the store to help the store manager. Well, on the way there, she was crossing through an intersection, going 42 miles an hour in a 45 mile an hour zone on a green light, and a man by the name of Troy Edward Young was racing his car 83 miles an hour through that intersection and T-boned my daughter and killed her. Her car was careened through the intersection and through a building, and she died at the scene. You can just imagine how horrific this has been for our family, especially after finding out that this man that killed our daughter was high on medical marijuana. He was from the state of Michigan and had a medical marijuana card. And he was a doper. If you saw a picture of him, you'd know what I mean. He'd been a loser all of his life. He had had many other OVIs, but he was out driving and racing his car that day and took my beautiful daughter's life, who had just graduated in intelligence and analysis research from Notre Dame College with honors. She went there on a scholarship from Olin Tangi. She played lacrosse. She was just incredible, and she learned Arabic and Spanish fluently so she could be in this program. And she was going to fight drugs. She did an internship with HIDA, High Intensity Drug Trafficking of Ohio. She got a certificate for outstanding contributions to the program. She really wanted to change the world for the better. She told me that she wanted to fight the scourge of drugs in our world and only to be killed by somebody who was high on marijuana. I know she's telling me right now that I need to do this. I went and testified in front of the legislature, in front of the committee against legalization of medical marijuana. My argument for them was very simply, if this is a medical need, then why don't we put it through the FDA, a double-blind placebo study? I don't understand why we're doing it this way. When I lived in Arizona, you brought up the fact about safety. I had neighbors that were illegally growing marijuana in their backyard. They were constantly being raided by thugs. We would find the plants strewn across our front yard. It's a concern. People want to get this drug for free. Another thing I'm concerned about, if we have these dispensaries, what happens when they do legalize the recreational marijuana? We're going to have these dispensaries and these grow places right in our backyard. And I don't know if you've traveled or been to Colorado, but I've heard about what is going on there. And where these dispensaries are, there's all kinds of drug addicts hanging out. I think it's wrong. I don't think we need it here. I don't understand why we would do it. There's no benefit to us. Anyways, I guess that's about all I have to say. I'm hoping that you really think serious about this and what it opens up to our beautiful township. I, too, love living here. And I think it's a beautiful place. I just feel so blessed every day to live in this township. We have a wonderful police force, and we have a wonderful, you know, township, and I just don't want this to happen. Okay, so please really give it serious consideration. Thank you.
Did we get your name, ma'am?
I'm sorry, my name is Corrine Gasper. And do you want my address?
It's
okay.
Not necessary.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gasper.
Yes, sir.
My name is Bob Gasper, also a township resident. My wife just spoke. And although I'm sympathetic to cases where there is a legitimate need for medical marijuana, I know we saw a news report on NBC News several months ago of a family that had a child that was having the seizure disorders, and marijuana was the drug that was beneficial for this particular patient, and the burden that was put on this family is they had to travel to Colorado where it was legal for them to get. This was before the vote here in Ohio. We are both sympathetic to that concern. However, you've heard about the tragedy that our family has experienced. There's no going back. And my concern is it's medical marijuana today, but our concern is the pathway to recreational use down the road. You can't unring the bell after it's been rung, and I think we're opening the floodgates. And I question what is the upside for Genoa Township, not individual families, the township itself. Are property values gonna go up or are they going to go the other way? You mentioned it's going to be, or has the potential to be, a burden on safety services, police, fire, and what's the upside for the township there since there's no income to be generated from it? So I don't know why we would go down this path. The concern we have is if medical marijuana is transitioned to recreational marijuana, in Colorado, auto accidents statistically are up 100%. They're not all fatalities, but you've heard the tragedy our family suffered, and there's no going back. There's no way to make that better. You wait until the afterlife to be reunited with your family. So how are we going to protect the innocent? I mean, there may be no downside for the township economically. I think there will be with safety services, but how are we going to protect families? The situation that we had, you know, sure, you could say Jennifer could have been killed by a drunk driver. This particular individual had already been picked up for DWI. Now it was a medical marijuana card. You listed the number of things that were on there that are now approved for medical marijuana, and some of them may well be legit, but about the only thing I didn't hear that could slide through a doctor's office is a common cold. So I think people are going to find their way around this, and then how is the township or the state legislature going to protect families? Because saying after the fact, well, those people that offend and that use it inappropriately and go out on the road and endanger other people or kill other people are going to be punished. This man took Jennifer's life at age 22. We're never going to have her back at Christmas. This man, because he was, I think, don't quote me on the numbers, I thought it was 10 nanograms per deciliter. He was just under the limit for aggravated vehicular homicide, so it was just vehicular homicide. So the most he could get was 2 years. He was sentenced to 2 years, and then he served 15 months and he was out. So we can't rely on the court system to protect families. He lost his driver's license for 10 years, but we all hear on the news all the time about people driving without a license. It'd have been more effective if they'd have taken his library card. And that's unfortunately where we're at. If you have a solution to protect the innocent people from the people that are going to abuse it, I'm all ears, because I'm sympathetic to the real need for medical marijuana, but you can't have, in my opinion, people on medical marijuana out traveling and endangering other people. The chances and the cost are just too high. It's not worth the risk, in my opinion. So I would implore the trustees to continue down the path of prohibit it. We may not keep it out of the state or out of the state in all areas. We may not keep it out of Delaware County. But you're the people that we elect to keep it out of Genoa Township. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry for your loss.
Continuing left. Yes, ma'am.
My name is Nancy Vincent, and I live in Orchard Lakes, which is part of Genoa Township. In June of 2008, my husband had come home from the war in Afghanistan after serving 2 years in Afghanistan. He came home June the 7th, and on June 19th at the corner of Plum Road and Route 3, he was killed while going south on his motorcycle. The perpetrator was going north, turned left in front of my husband illegally, and killed him instantly. He had no driver's license, no car registration, a loaded gun in the car, a gallon bag of marijuana that he threw out the window. Tested positive for marijuana, but when we went to plea negotiations, it was discovered that the Genoa Township police officer who let him leave the scene of a fatality accident to go home and eat a hamburger, when the boy came back, the police officer took his blood and urine, but he took it over the 3-hour limit required by law. This reduced the boy's charges from 2 felony vehicular homicide charges, possibly with serving up to 8 years in prison, to a minor misdemeanor, the same as if I hit you in the rear end with my car at Kroger parking lot. Judge Kruger in Delaware County put the boy on probation for killing someone. He violated his probation three times, and the prosecutor's office came to the probation violations each time, told me he's going to jail today. You can count on that. Judge Kruger's very strict. He never went to jail. He violated his probation three separate times. Progressive Insurance sued him in a civil action for $300,000. Since the blood and urine was not collected within the 3 hours, it was a debt that was non-dischargeable in bankruptcy. He turned around and filed bankruptcy, so my family was never allowed to collect on the $300,000 judgment. I did not receive my husband's Navy pension because at midnight on Wednesday, my husband had gone off of active duty and became an active reservist. Had he still been on active duty, I would have received a $3,800 pension. I still have a mortgage payment. I still had a child that was in college. And it's been very hard to have your income reduced by $90,000 a year overnight. I am opposed to marijuana of any kind in Genoa Township. And if it does become legal to smoke medical marijuana in Genoa Township, I will be moving. And I hope that you give us enough notice so that people who do not want their property values devalued have plenty of time to sell their houses. Houses on my street are getting sold in about 3 hours. So it's a consideration that I think I really need to make if you're going down this path, because I also testified at the state legislature, and this passing of the medical marijuana is just a ploy to sneak in recreational marijuana in the back door. My sister lives in Stockton, California. They started out with medical marijuana in her neighborhood. Now her neighborhood has recreational dispensaries. It's a hangout for meth addicts, heroin addicts. Her house has been devalued by about $100,000. She can't afford to move out of Stockton, California. She basically lives in now the hood. And I don't understand why the township trustees would want this if there's no economic value or anything that's going to be derived from the township, because all you're asking for is a bunch of thugs coming into our county and coming into our township. And you've got enough people driving around on marijuana and high on opiates right now. And with the opiate addiction being the way it is in Ohio, I just don't understand this whole marijuana thing. But whatever, but I guess it's not for me to understand it, but I just, you know, it's bad news. I worked for the federal government for 37 years for the United States Attorney's Office. I also worked for the Delaware County Prosecutor's Office. I also worked for the Federal Probation and Parole Office. When I would interview a parolee, none of them ever told me that they started out shooting up heroin. They started out at about age 11 or 12 smoking marijuana. Marijuana, whether you want to believe it or not, is a bridge to bigger and better things, opiate use and all of that, and I do not want it in Genoa Township. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thanks. Sorry for your loss as well.
Continuing across.
Kevin Gaynor, I actually came here this evening just to listen and try to understand the issue and, you know, hear what the public is thinking. I wasn't planning on making any remarks. After meeting, I think it was you, in the parking lot, I was reminded of something. I don't think I was contemplating speaking about it, but I'm going to make it really crystal clear right now. In fact, it represents something relative to this issue that I, like these others, have been complaining about, in their case, for years. In my case, I guess, for a couple of years. Let me back up a little bit. This is a really exceedingly simple issue. It involves public safety. One of the trustees, Carl Gebhardt, has proven himself incapable of protecting the residents' interests insofar as that very issue. And that fact tells me that on this new issue involving public safety, the answer is no. No medical marijuana. If you can't even, or if you don't even have the interest, the capability, the moral reasoning ability to investigate the background of people that you, Carl Gebhardt, invite to this township and shower with hundreds of thousands of dollars, all the while they are two-time convicted drunken drivers, I have to ask myself, what is going on? What are you doing? And in connection with this newer public safety issue, I'm just, why should we trust your judgment or any of the new people who might arise? This incident, by the way, with this twice convicted drunken driver who runs this energy aggregation fraud arose when Rick Carfagna, you, and I believe it was Wilhelm, were in control here.
Could we keep it to the medical marijuana situation, please?
The relevance is this. If you don't even have the mental acuity to make decisions about whether we should have drunken drivers as contractors, then you have no business even entertaining this issue. Just don't do it. And I want an explanation why that drunken driver is still essentially on the payroll here.
Next.
Sir, as I was the last one to be here, may I go last?
You can defer. We'll go to the second. Okay, we'll shoot over to go to the first row on our right.
Yeah, here. Why don't you get the microphone for her? Yeah. There you go.
Okay, my name is Linda Cook. I was a high school teacher for 17 years. I know the problem with marijuana firsthand from my students. I had a grandson who's been in rehab now for 2 years and is doing wonderful. He was addicted to marijuana. I can't even begin to tell you how much money we've spent on it. But from the other side of the issue, I'm a lung cancer survivor. I had surgery about a year and a half ago where they removed part of my lung. I went through intense pain for a good year and was prescribed Percocets, which didn't really do too much, and thank goodness I'm not a weak person, so I didn't go for anything stronger than that. I also have severe back problems. Again, prescribe Percocets, get all kinds of shots. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. I have heard from quite a number of people who take the marijuana ointment for their backs and have had tremendous results from it. It's not addictive. You don't get high from it. I would give anything to be able to have my doctor prescribe it. He has said that it does work extremely well, but obviously he's not going to go against the law. So I just want to point out there is another side to it other than the addiction of marijuana. If it could be prescribed for medical reasons, that would really help. I see nothing wrong with that.
Thank you. I don't know if I previously stated or if Andrew did or not, but smoking of medical marijuana is prohibited in the statute. Okay, so it can be by liquid form, oils, edibles, etc. A lot of delivery methods. Smoking is not one of them. So smoking cannot be done. It's my understanding, yes, that they can use vaping, which to me is a form of smoking. I don't understand the difference between it, but you can vape. You are correct. Okay, let's go ahead and then continue across to our right in the first row. Seeing, yes?
I would just like to come back up and now that we've got those questions answered, I would say that as a resident, my name is Art Ritz, I would be against the growing of marijuana in Genoa Township. I would be against the selling, dispensing of medical marijuana in Genoa Township. I think that we don't need to expend any of our safety service resources to protecting grow sites or policing an area where we may have some of these people that have been brought up by others coming to buy and hang out at those locations. I don't think that's what our township is about. I don't think we need to expend our funds for that. And I think probably we'll find out more and more about reasons that we don't want to have it in Genoa Township. So I would say that I think we need to go on record and say we don't care for that here. I also would say that I don't agree with Mr. Gaynor's comments about Mr. Gebhardt. I know this is not a forum for a personal attack, but in the years that I've been on the Police Advisory Board, Mr. Gebhardt has been nothing but wonderful working with our safety resources, concerned about the safety of the citizens, the visitors, and the people in this township. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Coming across the second row on the right.
This will be quick. My name is Michael Irwin. I'm against the growing or the dispensing within the township for all the reasons that have been articulated by the people sitting behind me.
Thank you. Continuing from our right, second row, crossing the middle, second row. Going back to the third row on our left, coming across to the middle. Back to our far right, last row. Any comments? Okay, we have one.
Now you guys had all the people come to yourself. Mark Harmon, 8088 Dunaway Lane. And I think we've heard pretty convincing evidence from the residents that really we have a nice family-oriented community. We need to keep it that way. And I don't think this, you know, people that need it and use it, I get it, I understand it. But we don't need it in our community. We don't need to grow it, distribute it, have anything to do with it. If they need a prescription for it, there will and there are places where they can go and get it. They don't need to do it here. Thank you.
Thank you. And then we'll have a gentleman up here on our left.
First of all, my hearts go out to you.
Excuse me, your name, please.
My name is Glenn Christensen. It's spelled C, it's the Danish. It's spelled C-H-R-I-S-T-E-N-S-E-N. And my wife, Penny, and I, she's camping right now. We live at 6301 South Old Tree Highway. Before anything, I just want to say one thing. Okay, my heart, I'm a progressive. My head, I'm a bridge builder. And I think we got the greatest governor in the union, and I just wanted to put that on public statement. And I have my reasons for it, because I think this man has a lot of integrity. A lot of integrity. And even though maybe our politics don't agree, we sure agree that there is a common middle road. I, too, was the victim of a hit-and-run accident. I went out to L.A. I have no initials after my name, though I have over 12 years of graduate and undergraduate work, plus some seminary. I was inducted into SEMTE, Society of Motion Pictures and Television Engineers, which is an enormous honor, and a member of Mensa. So I try to think things through from many sides. I believe everybody has a gift, and gifts are meant to be shared. Before my accident, in fact, the very last film, if you go to the Pentagon, in the Air Force section, there is a multimedia display and a film of all the great things our Air Force has done in humanitarian services. I was the editor of that film. And because of that, I was driving, not with my wife and our other friends, to the Grand Canyon, but myself, because even though we thought we were done on Wednesday, Gary, the producer, says, Glenn, just got a call up, General Major from the Pentagon's on the flight, and I think we're going to be here a few more days. So we finished up Good Friday Eve, and I have two speeds, fast or slow. And I was rested. It was a great film and a fun project and a wonderful man to work with, that General Major, Major General. Anyway, the types of films I made were generally seen by members of Congress, the Senate, the administration, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and I cannot tell you my clearance, but I'm telling you the truth. And you don't do that kind of work if you do drugs or a drug abuser. And I am neither. Now, Saturday morning, my wife calls me. We lived on the other side of Palm Springs on the mountain at one of the Bible camps that my wife ran. We also had an apartment right off the ocean by the aerospace companies, which were my main clients. I'm a freelancer. And there was a little town that was kind of a tourist town near us. And a shortcut to it, I think maybe why, was our little road. Now I'm coming to a blind S-curve. It's April 18th, 1992. And there's a lot of bushes. And I've got my seat harness belt on, and I'm getting ready to stop, because I have to stop to get on the main road going down, to catch a flight whenever I get there. Every half hour is one of those tickets, Grand Canyon. And as I'm about to make the last turn, here comes racing a car, because they don't have to stop the other way. And they're halfway in my lane. Now, I had to curve very fast to avoid a head-on collision to the left with a mountain going up, and then around to the right, so I wouldn't crash into the mountain going up. And the hand of God saved me. You see, there's like a little lip on the side of the road where the water runs down. Now, I don't remember this. This is a little embarrassing. The last thing I remember knowing I was going to go off was I said, O-S-H-I-T. And I thought, oh, great, I'm about to meet my maker, and my last words are swearing. But there were witnesses, and it is in the police report. My car flew off. It is spinning. The centrifugal force. I had a little sunroof, just a little bit open. The centrifugal force pushed me against the seat and out that sunroof. I landed near the road. Right across from us were little fire station paramedics. God help, immediately, I don't remember this. And I did get my uninsured motorist because I was nicked. But the car was way down the mountain, and I would not have lived. I mean, the pictures speak for themselves. It was a miracle. Now, I went to a great place, Loma Linda Medical University Center, which is also right down the mountain, for 3.5 months. And I have a very mixed blessing, but every day is a gift. And the best thing for pain is to not think about it. Let me come back to that. I can feel. I'm not severed. I'm bruised. And I can feel wind. I can feel temperature in my toes. I know most paralyzed people, they don't. It's like dragging around something there that's still attached. But I'm not lying when I say that the flip side is I'm always in extreme pain. That is managed. And I'd like to speak to you just briefly about the history of my pain management. It's like having a raw nerve in your spinal cord. I don't know if you ever got a shock from your teeth, dentist chair, or it's like that, only it feels like stab wounds, right? T8, T9. And I have tried and have been successful from the beginning to continue lowering my opiates through a lot of research and through a lot of pain management. When I got out, now the Seventh-day Adventists run Loma Linda, they're wonderful. However, as an inpatient, they had me on a great deal of morphine as well as codeine so that I could tolerate. I'm always in the 4 to 6 range. But if you don't think about it, you don't feel it. Best thing for pain is to not think about it. When I got out, my great doctor, he ran GIMSARAS, the spinal cord divisions, 2 floors. It's a pretty big. And he said, Glenn, and at this point, the Supreme Court in California said that they would no longer take any cases regarding medical marijuana. It was not yet legalized in the state, but the Supreme Court had made that ruling. And I had done a lot of research on opiates, and I read that if you take only what you need, you don't get goofy. And that is true. I still get upset stomach. I mean, not like I used to. It's part of the story. My doctor said, Glenn, I know you need the morphine, but I want you to consider something. And I don't think we should be, if this is industrial scale, I do not think we should be growing medical marijuana in our township. I understand that. If we're talking about some big thing, that we got too many schools and such here. But in my case, my doctor said, would you consider growing and smoking the marijuana instead of the morphine? And so I did in my closet. And it worked. I was still on the codeine, which sounds bad, but at least I was no longer on all the morphine. Now, the reason that long list is there, we moved from California to Wisconsin right before we came here. And in Wisconsin, I was able for 2 years to be on Marinol. We did a Marinol study. And the reason why the long list of conditions is because of the federal judge that's appointed to the Drug and The DEA. The federal judge of the DEA said you must allow medical marijuana for these conditions, and that's basically the long conditions that you have on that list. What they did, so not to have marijuana, they said we'll do it with Marinol. And it was Schedule 2 when I was on it. Now, at Schedule 2, doctor has to go through a lot of paperwork. And they weren't getting many people using it, but it worked. It worked. And it wasn't high. You know, we stepped it up to where it worked. We did cut the morphine in half, and we were going even lower. And then there was a changeover in government. And the new district attorney said, no, it can only be done for the two things tested for, which is AIDS patients and people with chemotherapy. We did an appeal, even went to a psychiatrist who didn't, and so that ended that. And so I'm back on the morphine and codeine. Then come here. And I try, but this has good news at the end. My wonderful family doctor, my wonderful family doctor, said, is the one that taught me the best thing for pain is to not think about it. If you could just keep your mind on other things, you won't be in pain, and it really works. I am not able to use marijuana in Ohio yet. I don't want you to move. But I believe I was and already was able. You see, my family doctor got me to go see 6 different pain management doctors, including the top of the country, Cleveland Clinic, who finally discovered what was wrong. I developed charcoal, which hardly ever happens with paralyzed people. It usually happens with diabetes. My chair wasn't set right, and there was water forming. I had this bump right above my tailbone, and no one, including me, thought to do an x-ray. And all of a sudden, I'm having more pain, and everybody says, well, just take more morphine. And pretty soon, I'm up to 3 times. And I kept my baseline all those years. And I'm going crazy, and I finally go to a place where I said to my doctor, I said, I'm not taking anymore. And we spent 2.5 hours talking with the nurse, and she spoke with the doctor who was a dry tank at OSU or the hospital there. And he said, I cannot take you because it would be cruel and unusual punishment, but I'm going to help you get into the Cleveland Clinic. And on the Cleveland Clinic, we got me off the morphine on the gabapentine, GABA. Codeine stayed this, well, they made it oxycodone. But we were able to also cut down on the baclofen, which is hard on the liver because of the spasticity. That's the thing. I mean, I didn't have to take, when I was on the Marinol or before that in California, not only pain medication, I didn't have to take spasm medication. It does work. I would hope that one thing that could be addressed is that one of the things that why all the doctors, pain management doctors, they said, we don't have any idea about Marinol. We have no guidance. We have nothing. And perhaps whether this passes or not, although it is very expensive, I mean, 90 days was $5,000. That was back then. You know, I have insurance. I'm very blessed. But when I spent Passover this year, I'm part Jewish, which I like. I'm a Lutheran, either I'm a Jewish Lutheran minister or a Lutheran minister Jew. I think it works either way. We found out genetically and something about and this Torah that my mother left me. Didn't know why Grandma spoke some Yiddish until I was 17 and she'd already passed on. Anyway, while I was there, okay, a gabapentin. On that, we had to quit it because I kept getting gallstones or kidney stones. It doesn't metabolize. But then later we found Cymbalta. And for people with opiates, Cymbalta and gabapentin are widely recommended. Cymbalta is an antidepressant. Actually, I didn't even know I was depressed until I took it. But I guess I was a little bummed out about being, But every day is a gift. Every day is a gift. Thank you, Lord. While I was there, they had, and my friends said, do you want to, and I said, oh, yes, I'll try it. And they got me, it's the oil where it breathes out mist air, and it is inhaled, so it is smoking. I guess it would be wrong. But guess what? I took 1/4, sometimes 1/2 of my opiate use. And my opiate use and Cymbalta use and Valium use for the spasticities are all reduced by marijuana or Marinol. If we have a dispensary here, may I please offer my free services to make a film to educate? I don't know what else to do to ask of you. In my case, it makes an enormous difference. But I don't want to bring trouble on our community. And I'm willing to sacrifice for the love of our community. But if I can do, and what you said is so true, if I can make you folks any kind of educational film, I get my card up. I'll do it so that it is used in the right way. So that it is something that people can watch out for, that it doesn't do it. And I don't understand why we can't add a tax to it here if we're going to have it here. And I guess the other thing is, I would hope that in a year or two, if it does pass here, I would hope that we would have a review to see, is it going the right direction or is it going the wrong direction? And if it's going the wrong direction, I am the first person to say, we don't do it. But if we find out that it does help people in some extreme situations and is not abused, then I hope that it would be a safe dispensary place that we could go to. I know one can buy illegally here in this county. I also know from others, and I don't break the law, but I know that there's a lot of small growers to try to keep the Mexican cartel out of Genoa Township. And at this point, that is happening in about a 25 north radius from where we are. I cannot name names. I do not participate. But I'm told by people who say they know. And with that, I thank you. And I understand if we don't pass it. I don't want you to move. Please don't.
I understand.
Then
that I should go somewhere else. I don't know what else compromised. Forgive me. I don't know what else to ask. I do think, though, it is good that we are trying. I cannot believe this opium epidemic. And maybe one thing's, if it does pass in the state, when if there's talk among doctors, that maybe they should consider, instead of an opiate, gabapentin, if it's neurological, Cymbalta, Marinol, or if it passes, medical marijuana. It's a lot safer and a whole lot, in my opinion, dangerous.
Thank you
for this opportunity.
Thank you. Okay, one last time. Anybody that we missed or wants a second chance? Yes, ma'am.
I just hope that when you do start the recreational marijuana in our township, and that you have the police officers take drug recognition classes so that they can recognize people who are high on drugs, because one of the issues with the police officer with the prosecutor's office was that he said that he did not see any indication that the boy that killed my husband was high on drugs, so therefore that's why he let him leave the scene of a fatality accident to go home and eat a hamburger. So I think that your police officers could use some training in drug recognition, and especially if this marijuana issue, when we have all these distribution centers here in Genoa Township, I think that they do need to take those classes. And I was told that when the last police levy was on the ballot, that if I voted for it, that the chief of police would look into that and offer drug recognition classes, and I don't know if that has ever happened or not. But I also want to thank Mr. Gebhardt, because when I was going all through this criminal case, when my husband died, I called him, and he was at work. The number that he has is his work number, and he took time out of his work to talk to me and listen to my issues and my problems, and I want to thank you so much for that. And all of the township trustees have been very good to me. Thank you.
Thank you. There was a comment about not the medical marijuana not being taxed. I think it was Glenn who just made that statement. It will be taxed. It is very, very, very heavily taxed. We're just not going to be the beneficiaries of that. It'll go to the Ohio General Revenue Fund. But it will be subject to sales tax, just like you buy a blouse or corn or anything else. Yes?
My name's Tom Topolesky. I just came to listen to see, to learn some things, but I'm surprised there's a lot of pain in this room. I would hope that that counts for something. The other thing that I noticed is that there's a distinct lack of belief in the judicial system. Depending on how, whatever you guys choose to do, maybe some judges in the county should be invited to a meeting, and they should listen to what people have had to say, because it takes me back that what some of the things have, it's so been so casually dismissed. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
Kevin Gaynor. I'm going to repeat something very important, because this has been an unaddressed issue for a couple of years.
Is this concerning medical marijuana?
It's concerning the public safety dimension of this type of legislation. There are other ongoing Genoa Township involved matters that are comparable to medical marijuana in their impact.
Okay.
And the tie-in, the specific the specific tie-in is we don't even at present have consideration given to whether contractors employed by the township are in reasonably good standing in regard to their motor vehicle records, particularly operating a motor vehicle intoxicated. So the tie-in is this. If at present one of the trustees in particular is incapable of doing the due diligence, doing the background investigation, giving consideration to public safety and the police forces, what assurance do we have that any new decision on medical marijuana, as it might be used in motor vehicle moving violations, will be sound decision making? That's why earlier I said, if you can't even conduct your own affairs properly now, then the simple answer is no. Now, and I'll repeat what I said at the outset. The public is entitled to know why that specific person with that record, that abhorrent record, was hired, period. You can continue to dodge it, minimize it, cover it up, obfuscate, bring up other members of the public who will give you a nice sounding cover story like you're good on public safety, but I'll tell you something, it doesn't wash with me. Now, number two, the gentleman over here,
Glenn,
that's the same name as my son, coincidentally.
I'm honored.
He had a, to say it was interesting and compelling, obviously minimizes what he had to say. In fact, nobody can give meaning to it except as he did. After hearing him, and this doesn't negate anything I just said about you, Carl, and I'm waiting for that answer, it's obvious this is a really complicated issue. It involves human biology. It involves the medical sciences. It involves issues of what actually occurs when drivers use this substance under the influence, something I did look into, and I'll get to it if we have time. At any rate, I don't know what the remainder of the meeting will sound like. I found it informative, but a conclusion that I draw is you better get cracking with the books and start studying before you pretend to have a decision. Okay, now just one final concluding comment, and again, I can't emphasize enough, none of us, I'm presuming there's no noted medical professional in the audience, none of us know enough about this material to say anything even halfway intelligent, so stop with the charade. But I will say, when the statewide initiative came up a couple of years ago, I did look heavily into the literature regarding the motor vehicle safety aspect of it, which is a great concern to me, and is why I'm giving Carl such a beating about the OMVI record. It does appear, and I'll have to go back and double check, but based on my recollection, it does appear that marijuana is a significant risk in the operation of motor vehicles, and that should be of immense concern because we have enough mayhem on the roads already, so let's not add to it. And I want an answer to that question about why that twice convicted OMVI contractor is getting $185,000 in the context of this electricity aggregation fraud.
Okay. Yes, Glenn?
Just a short PS.
Short.
Short.
Okay. Thank
you. One, I agree with you, but I think that training should extend also to people who get the marijuana. You don't have to smoke to get wacko to have the medical benefits. That's the whole point. You just take a little bit and you don't go, yay, yay, yay. I mean...
May I ask you something?
Yes, please.
Is Marinol a derivative of marijuana?
It is THC. It is simply THC. And
FDA, and it's...
Yes. And
PS2.
And no, that's it. That's, I forgot that. It is now, it is the only drug that the DEA has ever made Schedule 3. And that makes it really easy for doctors to then prescribe. And now, when I had it in Wisconsin, it was Schedule 2. When I went to those six doctors, it was Schedule 3, and all I needed one was for our family doctor to say yes. And that's why I said about the thing. But again, if this was just a thing about legalizing marijuana for recreational use, I would not feel the same way. And I'm being honest. I think there's other states doing it. See what there happens there. You know, but again, I hope somewhere there'll be a dispensary that I'll be able to get medical marijuana. And my prayers go to you three. I was lucky. I survived my hit and run.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. With that, here, seeing no one else, thank you very much for your public participation. The trustees are not prepared to make a decision as to whether or not we're going to have any more of these forums or not. We'll discuss that at a future meeting. We continue to receive feedback, so if you want to send emails, telephone calls, tell others pros and cons, we're interested. We're open to hearing from you. That's the purpose.
But if I could, even though what you said is true, I do want to go on the record, in spite of my mental capacity, to let people know that I am against this. I do appreciate, Glenn, your situation. We are dealing with, sometimes I think we use the term prescription to give legitimacy to some things. And, you know, we've seen the situation with prescription drugs, prescription opiates. We've seen the issue with prescription antibiotics and the impact that that's having on us. So I think we have to be cautious of that issue, that just because it says it's prescription, that it's safe and it's going to be used properly and that it's okay. So and the same thing with the opiates. My family went through a situation as a result of addiction to prescription opiates, a suicide of my brother-in-law. He had boxes, literally boxes, of prescription opiates, painkillers. And when I turned him over to the Columbus Police Department, they knew the doctors that were on the pills or on the bottles and have since arrested him. So I've lived it. My family has lived it. And why we would think that just because it says prescription, that it's a good thing. So whether we have more meetings or not, I am opposed to it in Genoa Township.
With that, we'll...
May I comment?
Oh, please, yes.
I actually have a question for Mr. King. okay, so there was a comment, and I think that Mr. Christensen made the comment about we can change the decision. Now, I know that we put this decision in as we did and prohibited it with no end time on it, knowing that we could reverse it if we chose.
Correct.
As I understand, we did that because if we opened the door, we would have a much harder time closing it later. Did I understand that correctly?
Correct.
Okay. And given that, I would also like to go on record as I, too, am opposed to medical marijuana in Genoa Township. My concerns are the safety of our residents and those that travel through our township that are not residents. I also think that this will put an unnecessary burden on our safety services, specifically our police. And much of that is because it is an all-cash operation, but it is not just the monetary side of this, it is the safety side, the impact that marijuana has on people and their ability to react, etc. So I would like to also go on record. Whether or not we have more meetings, I don't know that they're necessary. We've had the majority of folks tonight say they are not in favor of this. And I too am very sympathetic to people with health concerns. It's a fine line, but I have to say at this point I've come down as opposed to medical marijuana in Genoa Township. Thank you for allowing me to speak.
Thanks. Okay, I will make a motion to adjourn the meeting at 8:27.
Second.
Second. Roll call.
Mr. DeGioia?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
With that, the meeting is adjourned.